Hi, welcome to the 5-Minute Shift. I'm Mom Coach Stephanie Rosenfield, bringing you another quick tip for you to feel better in your momming today. Okay, on today's episode of the 5-Minute Shift, I am so excited to have Abby Williams here. She is a behavioral health therapist, a mother of four, the author of a book called An ABC of Families, and the host of You the Mother podcast. She also specializes in difficult family relationships, especially with mothers. So I am so excited to have you here to talk about all things difficult family relationships.
Yeah, I'm excited to be here, Stephanie. This is a topic that I am very passionate about. And I think we need all these spaces because it can be a really lonely road.
Yeah. First, I want you to sort of tell us about your journey and how you got here.
Yeah. So I have had a difficult relationship with my mother, probably my whole life, I would argue, but really it kind of reared its head during those fun teenage years, early adult years. Things just got worse. Tried boundaries, all kinds of things, you know, trying to maintain that your family role. And we finally went no contact 4 years ago this summer. And so my journey was very messy, like most people's. When we get to this estrangement piece, I kind of talk about estrangement being like cutting off your arm. Cutting off your mother is like cutting off your arm. You have to kind of relearn how to live. It's one of the hardest things you'll ever do. It is the last resort. And so for me, that initial going no contact was super messy, super dark. Looked like depression, had to get a lot of therapy. And so now I think that like so much of my platform has been based around like these lonely feelings. And for me, coming into estrangement was so lonely because 4 years ago, I feel like there's so many creators now that are talking about it. And I love that. But 4 years ago, there wasn't. It was still a very taboo topic. I think there's always been a lot of knowledge around the mother wound, around childhood trauma, you know, all these things, but you're seeing more creators on these online platforms who are experts, clinicians, therapists, you know, who have a training and are bringing some of this to these platforms. I love that. 4 years ago, I didn't see that. I didn't know anybody that I was walking alongside of, and it was just so lonely. So I knew that at some point, once I got to some place in my healing journey, that I wanted to create spaces where people felt seen, supported, validated, you're not crazy. And so that's really been a big driver of the work that I do today.
I love that. And even what you're saying about the loneliness, the taboo, the shame, I can totally relate to that. And I think that when most people, women especially, find comfort from friends, this is one of the things that it feels uncomfortable to talk about amongst friends. Again, a difficult or estrangement with your mom or sister-in-law or whoever it may be, because of that taboo or that shame associated with. So yeah, finding comfort from other people can be difficult. And I love that you're creating, one of the great creators, giving people the place to go to talk about this in a safe space.
Thanks.
So my first question is, how do you know if you have a difficult relationship with a family member? Like, I have clients and friends, and people talk about, they complain about different things, right? All relationships have tricky aspects. How do you know? Absolutely. How do you know if it's difficult?
So I think the biggest part is listening to our body. Our bodies send us so many clues about when things feel unsafe, not good. They're not serving you. Maybe you're watching yourself show up in ways that don't feel true to you. You know, maybe you're falling into some people-pleasing tendencies, some perfectionism, some over-functioning, under-functioning. Maybe you're falling into roles of the good girl, you know, and you're like, but this doesn't feel like me. I don't feel like people know the real me, you know, and I want to live a life where I feel the most authentic me, right? You might have feelings of stress, overwhelm, you know, kind of alarm bells ringing in your body. And you're like, why do I feel so unsafe every time this person comes up on my phone? You know, why do I get this instant jolt of anxiety? You might feel not good enough when you're asked to do things by certain people. And man, I'm never going to meet their expectations. They're asking me to do this thing and it just feels like I'm being set up for failure. So I think that there's a lot of different ways that these show up for different people. I think that these are very unique to each individual, but really taking a second to listen to your body and leaning into what questions instead of why questions. Why am I not able to meet people's expectations? Instead of beating yourself up and asking some of these what, why questions, really lean in and get curious. What is this sensation in my body trying to tell me? What is these behaviors that I have a pattern of, you know, what is their role in my life and are they serving me? Right. And so I think that when we really start to delve into our body, what is serving us and are we showing up in a way that is self-abandoning to keep the peace for everybody else? Or are we showing up in a way that just serves, or can we kind of take some of that power back and start living from self instead of these parts of ourself? I also would say all relationships kind of have tricky things in them, right? But I think the difference is that when you're able to come to some of these different family dynamics and say, hey, can you not make comments about my body? It makes me feel blank. You're going to have some people that are like, oh yeah, absolutely. I had no idea the impact that that was having on you. And then you're going to have some people that are like, you are so sensitive and I will absolutely not do that. You know, hey, can you call before you come over? You know, when you just show up unannounced, it disrupts our day. It does X, Y, Z. You know, it doesn't work for my family. Can you please call when you want to show up and see the grandkids? You're going to have some people that say, yeah, absolutely. I'm so sorry. I had no idea that I was disrupting and, you know, I want to see the grandkids, but absolutely I will coordinate with that with you further. And then you're going to have some people that are like, nope, I get access to you whenever I want. I get access to my grandchildren and these are extensions of me. And so I think that when you have these systems where you're not able to establish boundaries, where you're not able to have clear communication with each other, that's also a sign.
I love that. I love what you said about asking yourself what questions instead of why, because why produces a shame immediately. Why aren't I closer to this person? Yeah. Why aren't I like this person in this person's relationship? And that automatically produces shame. But what gives you is some ability to problem solve.
Yeah.
And it sounds like what you're saying is that once you notice that, it's making requests, having more authority. Mm-hmm. Now, I know a lot of my clients that request or that having some authority feels so scary. So
of course it does.
Maybe you go along, right? You just go along to get along. Yeah. What would you say would be, how can you just 5%, right? You talk about that, like 5%, what would be the first baby step to getting there?
Well, I first want to like normalize what you're talking about, that like this feels so scary. And just like, if that's you, if you're listening and you're like, oh my gosh, creating boundaries, telling people how I feel, that seems no way, I cannot do that. Of course, that feels scary for you because you have been conditioned to not trust yourself, to not have needs, to be walking on eggshells to meet the needs of others. Like this is part of your blueprint. So when we are making some of these changes, they feel scary. They feel like, no way, this is me. I'm crazy. I just need to stuff it down and go along to get along, right? So I first want to like normalize that if that is you, take a breath. There's nothing the matter with you. This has literally been conditioned in you. And then what are some steps that we can take to move out of that? I think taking small steps to develop self-trust. I think so many of us struggle with self-trust, you know, and we have these inner critics that we're living through life with, right? And these inner critics were probably spoken to you in your early years, probably childhood, and they were probably from the people closest to you, the people that you are now struggling with. So maybe it's your mother's voice, maybe it's your father's voice, maybe it's an older sister, maybe it's an aunt, an uncle, whoever, right? And they spoke some of these things into you and said, Stephanie, you are so sensitive. You're so sensitive. And that just was like your framework that you're working from for always, right? Oh my gosh, I'm so sensitive. I need to do XYZ so that I don't present like this, right? And then maybe you had a boss and he was kind of scary, or there were some things that went on, and it further validated that poor belief, that inner critic of I'm so sensitive, I'm dramatic, I'm whatever, fill in the blank, whatever is yours, right? And then maybe you have a best friend and you have a falling out there, and that further validates that, right? We have so many life experiences that we kind of go along and this inner critic can get validated. Start moving out of that and look at some of those things and say, is this really a problem? Or is it my superhero power? Is being sensitive really an issue? Or is being sensitive allowed me to do this thing and this thing and show up for these people in these ways? And look at how all these things have benefited from me being passionate, not dramatic, sensitive and feeling and loving, right? We want to be like that. And so I think like once we kind of shift our perspective about what the inner critic is, we identify its role and who we are to the core. There's nothing the matter with you in your core. There's nothing the matter. You've probably adopted some trauma responses that maybe we need to untangle, but there's nothing the matter with you. And starting to identify, okay, how am I going to start trusting that though? Because I've been conditioned not to. And that's normal. I've had to do that work right alongside you guys. But taking steps forward into developing some of that self-trust, and that's baby steps, right? Maybe that's just making one decision that feels scary and like, nope, I'm going for this. And then the next week you do something different, right? And just starting to develop some of those things. I also talk about a lot with my coaching clients about developing and strengthening our inner mother. And because we talk about the inner child work so much, but I don't think that anybody really talks about who's raising that inner child inside of us. And it's our inner mother. It's us. It's the adult version of us. And so speaking to some of those parts of yourself, hey, we're safe now. You can make those choices. You can do that thing. There's nothing the matter with you. Talk to that part of you the same way that you would speak to your child, your best friend, people that are close to you. And that will help strengthen some of that self-trust as well.
I love that. And I can think about a personal experience for me with a self-trust. I've really worked on myself, right? Mm-hmm. As really viewing myself as a good mom and that I make the best decisions for my kids. So when I go see family members on vacation, I'm thinking of a vacation last year, and it was their house. They had different rules, and my son, it just wasn't really jiving. So me being able to speak up for what I knew, what was best for me and my family, even though other people around me may, I don't know for sure, but may have opinions. She's too easy on him, mm-hmm. or she doesn't say no, or like some of their thoughts and opinions, yeah. Me being able to have that self-trust with myself of, I know what's best for my family and my kids. It didn't feel good. It still felt scary, yeah. But I knew that if I didn't say something that I wouldn't want to come back next year.
Yeah.
Similarly, I had another client and her mom would show up at the house unannounced, right? And she wanted to have this like good relationship with her mom. And she realized every time my mom comes over unannounced, I feel resentful. I feel annoyed. And it was really deteriorating their relationship. And she didn't want to say anything because of the inner critic, those things, you're a good girl, go along to get along. She should be able to have access to her grandkids or her only, you know, all those thoughts. But what we discovered through coaching is that in order to create the relationship that you want with her and not have the resentment, it requires that speaking up, that saying, hey, we love when you come over. Can you call beforehand?
Yep.
And with that request, her mom did listen. And mm-hmm. what she found as a result was, wow, our relationship actually improved and I want to be around her more.
And that's what boundaries should do.
Yeah.
Yeah. Boundaries promote connection and healthy relationships. Boundaries are not mean. They're not a punishment. Yes, boundaries are good.
I love that we're making that, because I think boundaries sort of have this negative connotation. It's like this big, scary thing. But the goal of it is to actually help improve a relationship with both parties.
Yes.
So I know from my personal experience, that there's shame around not having the relationship that I envisioned or I see other people have with different family members. And for my clients, it can be in-laws or sister-in-laws or brothers, right? Like estranged or difficult relationship. How do you recommend to start moving past the shame, the idea that there's something wrong with me because I'm not close to this person or we don't have a relationship?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, each one of these are kind of unique, right? And so there's a lot of nuance around like the mother-child relationship. So I'll start there. I think that like our, maybe both parents, but especially our mothers, they are really the only relationships in the world that it's, but she's your mother, but they've done so much for you. But, you know, was it really that bad? And like the gaslighting is just out of control. Where if any person in your whole life was treating you in some of these ways, a marriage, a friend, you know, whoever, your people around you would be like, Stephanie, get the heck out of here. You know, like, why are you putting up with X, Y, Z, right? But our parents really get a different kind of pass. And it's a societal thing. I think it's a family thing. I think it's just all over the place that just like family is everything. And like family is above your well-being, your mental health, your physical health, your ability to parent from a safe and healthy place, you know, and like, that's just mind blowing to me. So I think like, first, let's just like kind of kick that aside because that's nuts. Any relationship really should be above the one that we have with ourselves. We can't show up in any relationship if we are not safe, healthy, good, right? And so I think like, that's like the first thing. When we're talking about the shame is I have to do what's right for me. Me self-abandoning is not pleasing anybody because I'm not me. So let's kick that aside. And then I think that you're right. There's so much shame around this family, difficult dynamics, estrangement. And I really want people to look at all the ways that you tried to show up in these relationships. And did they work? Was this really you? Are you really the problem? Or is the system the problem? Most of the times it's the system, right? These dysfunctional family systems, everybody has a role. And when one person chooses to step out of their role, it disrupts the whole system. So it makes a lot of sense that you're the scapegoat, you're the crazy person, you're the problem, because people are going to protect the system above one person at all costs for every time. And maybe not every time, maybe some families do rally around that person. But most of the time, I would say that people protect that system, their roles have parts that serve them. And so I don't want the system to change because when things are like this, I get XYZ, maybe I get financial assistance from mom and dad when I stay in my role. So like, you want to leave your role? Cool. You're the crazy. I can't believe that you would do this to mom and dad. And you have like sibling rifts as a result. But I really want you to look at, was it me walking out of my role that was the problem? Or was it the system and all the patterns of behaviors that were the problem? Most of the time, it's that family system pattern. Yeah.
I love that. It's redefining the problem, right? Because I think, like you said, we're sort of conditioned to be like, I am the problem, or I should try to work on this relationship, or I should be closer, but it's redefining the problem as a system. I'm thinking also in sort of like a social setting, people mm-hmm. talk about their family and who they're close with and the family vacations they're going on. How do you recommend, and I'm thinking of myself in situations too, mm-hmm. when other people are talking about their close relationship with their mom or an in-law or their a sister-in-law or their brother or sister, and you don't have that same experience.
That comparison trap is
so that comparison trap, right? All these people, they're close to their sisters, moms, brothers-in-law. And I'm assuming there's like a grief component to that too.
There's absolutely a grief component. Yeah. There's absolutely a grief component. I would say don't try and go around those feelings. Go through them, right? Just like grieving any loss. You know, you can grieve the loss of a physical person. You can grieve the loss of experiences. You can grieve the whole thing, all the things that should have been, could have been, would have been, you know, grieve them, really process them and get your butt into therapy, find support. You know, I think that community has been the most impactful part of my healing journey. I've watched it move people in my group coaching. I have support groups on this topic. And finding other people that are on this journey alongside of you, there's nothing else like it. So find your people, plug in, find the internet gurus that are talking about it that make you feel like so seen and not so crazy. Unfollow some people, mute some people online that you're watching and you're like, oh my gosh, I get in the comparison trap so much when I watch this family because they are just like what I wish I had, right? Don't watch it until you're in a better space. Maybe never, you know, but it's okay to not be viewing the things that you get in a comparison trap about. And that goes for everything, right? If you're comparing yourself, your body, your marriage, your family, your parenting, if you find yourself doing that online, unfollow those people. If they're close family friends and it'll cause a whole bunch of drama, mute them.
Yeah.
You know, you can hide them without having to unfollow. But that comparison trap is so real. And I think like that plays into the shame a lot, right? What's the matter with me that I can't have what they have? And so really just protecting yourself, making sure that you're surrounding yourself with things that are supporting your healing and what you need.
I love that. And the idea of finding community, because it can feel so isolating when you hear other people talking about it. You know, even if you're at dinner with a bunch of friends, it can feel so isolating because you have a different experience. But being able to find community or someone else to talk about it who's going through the same thing is so important.
I also would say that these things really come up around certain days on your calendar. Get open your calendar today after you listen to this episode. Open your calendar. Circle those days, highlight those days, pick out those days. What are the days on your calendar when this comes up the most? Is it Mother's Day? Is it Father's Day? Is it Christmas? Is it your birthday? Is it your mother's birthday? Is it whole summer because you're watching everybody go on these great family vacations? When are those days that feel hard? And start kind of prioritizing, okay, I know on these days they're going to be hard. So I'm going to take a social media break during these times. I'm going to do a lot of preventative self-care during these times to work on me. I'm going to move my body. I'm going to journal. I'm going to do the therapy. I'm going to plug in with friends, whatever you need to do. And then come up with some things for those specific days that will help you, some boundaries. Some, you know, self-care things that you can do on those days. You know, maybe it's a code word with your partner of, hey, when things get a little at Christmas, I'm going to, you know, make a signal to you and you're going to like tap me out. Come up with some of those things. And then knowing that on the back end, you might have some stuff going on the back end. And what can I do to self-care on the back end too?
Yeah, I love that planning ahead, right? Because some of these things, their year, right? Their holidays, their year after year, their certain time period. So how can you plan ahead to make sure you're taking care of yourself? Yeah. And one thing I've noticed for myself in some of my more difficult relationships is I used to be so angry, right? Mm-hmm. And I used to complain about it to my husband and I used to blame the other person and get so riled up. But I think what I'm hearing from you and what I've noticed with me is it's sort of like going beyond the anger to the grief, the sadness. Now, when it comes up, it's like, oh yeah, I'm just sad that it's not what I wish it would be, right? I had an experience the past couple of weeks of a relationship and it not being what I expected it would be and sort of spending time together. And my initial reaction was like this anger, right? Like, well, they should, you know, do whatever because we're this. And it was like, oh, no, this is just a relationship and I wish it was different. And that's just, I'm sad. Mm-hmm. I'm sad that it's like this, but this is it. This is the relationship.
Yeah. Our anger is a good protector emotion, you know, it kind of protects us from some of these not great other feelings. Grief is hard.
Yeah. Yeah. So how can someone start to work on a difficult relationship from their side? Let's say that they've identified, I don't like how this feels in this friendship, family relationship, mother relationship, parent. How can someone start to work on it?
So communication, you can communicate your needs, your thoughts, your feelings to the other person. That might sound scary. You can do it. Write it. Maybe write a letter if speaking it feels hard. Boundaries. Lots of boundary work is one way. And again, I love, like you were talking about, I don't remember if it was you or your coaching client, and the dropping in unannounced.
Yeah.
And it's like, I love that you come over. I love having you around my children, you know, kind of sandwiching it with like some nice positive things. And then like, but I need you to call before you come. Right. And just making sure that people understand where the boundary is coming from, that it's not meant to be a punishment or something mean, you know, hey, I just want this relationship to be good. This is how I need it to be. I think that something that doesn't get said about boundaries enough is that oftentimes we have to communicate them more than once. People are stuck in their patterns of behavior. It's not a diss on you if somebody kind of forgets or slips up and shows up unannounced that next time. And they're like, oh yeah, sorry, forgot. You might have some other extreme things going on, but talking about people that want to be in a relationship with you and make it healthier, you might have to state those boundaries a couple of times. I like to have them in writing too. Maybe you kind of follow up after maybe you sit down and have the conversation. Maybe you follow up with a text the next day, like, hey, it was so great talking to you yesterday. Like, thank you for hearing me. You know, just as a reminder, this was like the boundary that was set. It kind of is nice to have something in writing. So then when some of these slip ups come up, you can say, hey, like, just to kind of refer back to our text conversation on this date, you know, hey, this was the boundary. So that can be good. And then I think just really working on ourselves is the biggest thing for how to handle difficult family relationships. That's therapy. That's moving your body. That's getting yourself healthy and good. That's really sitting down and getting clear about what is my priorities. What are my values? If I'm stepping out of this dysfunctional family system or out of, you know, maybe some survival instincts that I was in for a while, some trauma responses, getting really clear with what is my boundaries? What am I, or what are my priorities? What's my boundaries with myself? And where am I trying to go? What's the life that I'm trying to create? And really focusing on that, because then that can be the driver of all your decisions after.
I love that. And it's what you're saying about the boundaries and what I was chatting about with my client and what I've experienced in my own life. And many times it's being able to communicate it when you're feeling sort of okay. It's not when that anger or that annoyance or that frustration. And I had an experience in my life, another experience of someone not following through on what I had asked of them in regards to my children, and like feeling this immediate anger and annoyance and frustration. Like, I asked them to do this, and then I let that go through me. And it was really important to me to be able to communicate to this person, hey, I love when you're around my kids. I love the relationship that you have with them. However, this aspect is important for their well-being too. So I think just thinking of my own process there is getting to a place where I'm like, you are good too. Or like, I do appreciate these aspects of you. You're not bad.
Yeah.
So that I could feel good, like okay in that communication where it wasn't like, you did this and you shouldn't do this and you're never babysitting again or whatever it may be.
Right. Yeah. It's hard.
How do you know if a relationship is improving?
Yeah, I think I would go back to kind of like what we were talking about at the beginning, is some of that body awareness, right? Tapping into, how am I feeling when that name comes up on my phone? Am I feeling a little less anxious now that there are appropriate boundaries in place? Am I still feeling this overwhelm and I'm not good enough, I'm not worthy, or have I worked on some of those things in myself? So I think I would go back to some of that. And I think the only person we can change and, you know, be responsible for as ourselves.
Yeah. I love that. And it's so true. And I also think about it because there's so many different types of relationships. We have the people that live close to us, right? Mm-hmm. And we also have the people that I know my family doesn't live close to me. So yeah. When I think about working on some of those relationships in myself, it's like going to the gym. The more you go to the gym, the stronger the muscle is going to get. But if you're not seeing that person, or that person is only involved in your life a couple times a year, how would you recommend working, you know, like, you're not going to the gym every day. How would you?
Yeah. And I think that that's a huge reality for a lot of people in like our modern society, right? Is that we are so dispersed from families. You know, maybe that's checking in on a phone call every so often and revisiting some of these boundaries. You know, I think that those are going to be specific to kind of what's going on and unique from family to family. But again, I think like going back to, we can only control ourselves. So getting your butt into therapy, getting your butt into coaching, you know, finding some help, finding out what works for you, right? Your self-care routine. Is that mindfulness meditation? Is that yoga? Is that going for a walk? Is that journaling? Is that, you know, breath work? What is your self-care that's going to be keeping you good, right? So that when you do have some of these interactions, how are you going to be able to show up in them? You know, I think we can have lots of communication and put boundaries in place, but if we're not also doing the work for ourselves and making sure, okay, if I do show up at Christmas and nobody else has changed, what's going to be different? Am I going to continue to show up there? Or am I going to say, sorry, this Christmas isn't for me? Or what kind of boundaries can I put in place for myself? What kind of self-care can I put in place for myself so that I can go to Christmas because it's important to me to go there, you know? And those are going to be unique and decisions that each person has to make for themselves, right? But if you're choosing, okay, this Christmas, at Christmas every year, Aunt so-and-so always says something about my body. My mom does XYZ with my kids that drives me nuts. My dad makes some kind of comment about how I'm not good enough at whatever. And this happens every Christmas. And so you have the conversations with each person. You're like, hey, please make Christmas better. And then you show up to Christmas and everybody is just who they are. What's going to change, right? And so the only thing that we can change is ourselves.
I love that.
So however that looks for you, focus on, all right, how am I going to show up in these situations differently?
And I can think of so many client conversations with exactly that. It's you've made the requests, or you know these people are going to be them. What are you going to do for you if you still choose to go? You still want to see them. You still want to be together. That's your choice. How are you going to take care of yourself? And some things, my clients, some of them, right, depending on the situation, is I'm going to make sure that I have 2 20-minute breaks a day where someone, you know, someone else is with the kids and I get to get out of the house. I'm going to make sure that I work out. I'm going to, if these people start saying these things, I'm going to take my kids and leave the room. Mm-hmm. Right. It gives you so much power to plan ahead and sort of figure out, all these people stay the same and I still want to go. What am I going to do?
Yeah.
How am I going to? And I also love what you're mentioning about planning ahead in terms of how I'm thinking about a family vacation I have coming up. Yep. And what am I going to do the days leading up to it?
The days leading up, make sure that you are centering, right? You're not going in like, you know, all rattled in your body, you know, you guys
can't see Abby, but she's like, has her hands like shaking. Yeah.
It's like an alarm bell. It's like ringing in your body. It's like what I saw, it's like say about mine. It's just like, like your whole nervous system is just screaming. My sister is getting married this coming weekend and it's now the second time I will be seeing my mother since going no contact. I saw her a couple months ago for the first time at the bridal shower. And so I've been actively like practicing what I preach, right? This past 2 weeks, I've been doing yoga every day. This morning, I got up at 5:30 in the morning to go to hot yoga and sweat it out. And it makes me feel so good. I love that practice so much. you know, making sure that I schedule those therapy appointments, making sure that I schedule breaks into my day, making sure that I'm not overworking myself. You know, because there's also a lot of things to do, right? It's an out of town wedding. So I got to get my children all together and ready. I got to get myself all together and ready. I'm the matron of honor. So there's a lot of responsibility around that. So there's lots of things that could be distracting me from some of this preventative self-care. But it's so important that you be doing this preventative self-care, scheduling some things during those days, right? And just allowing yourself to know that the days after might be hard.
Yeah.
You know, you might have some kind of stress crash on the back end, not shaming yourself for it, right? That was just hard what I went through. That family vacation was hard. That holiday was hard. That event was hard, you know? And so allowing some softness on the back end and not like, okay, I got to get right back into it and keep over functioning. That's where I land an over functioning.
Yeah, me too. Me too.
It's not healthy. Don't be like me. So really making sure that you are scheduling some of that time in and like practicing it, right? Like this time you might go on this family vacation and take some of these nuggets that I'm giving you and you plug in like some things and like they don't work. And then you're like, okay, I actually needed maybe more movement or I needed more rest, right? Because I think like for myself, different stages for me have needed different things. I definitely needed more rest at certain stages than I do now. Now, like if I'm not moving my body at some point in the day, I'm not okay.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. So it's knowing yourself. Yeah. So you went no contact with your mom, but you are going to be together at this event this weekend. How does that look?
Estrangement.
Yeah.
Cause it's like a death of a person that's still living. So it's very complicated, right? That grief is very complex. It's hard. And just honoring all the feelings that come up around that. You know, I know like some people can avoid seeing, you know, maybe you've gone no contact after all your siblings got married. That would be great.
Hashtag goals.
Hashtag, I wish that was me. But, you know, I think it would have been harder had this happened at the beginning when I was in some really dark, depressed times. I'm definitely further along in my healing journey. And I think that that's something that doesn't get talked about enough on all the social media healing journey posts is like, healing journey. It's so beautiful and wonderful. And you're going to be so whole. You are, but you're going to walk through fire to get there.
Yeah.
And it's really, really painful and hard. And you go through some really, really rough times. And I did too. But even like from where I was 6 months ago, you know, I had moments when my sister got engaged, where I was like, I don't know if I'll be able to go to the wedding. And so, you know, really doing a lot of hard work on myself and therapy with my groups, right? And just like really making sure that I'm processing, honoring my feelings, moving my body, and just showing up for me has, I feel I'm in a good space.
That's such an inspiration.
I'm not scared to go.
Yeah. When did you decide to go no contact?
August of 2019.
Wow.
Yeah.
How did you decide to go from, okay, this is a difficult relationship, verbalizing my boundaries to no contact?
Yeah. How did I decide?
Yeah. Like what was there? I'm sure it wasn't just one thing, but like,
definitely wasn't one thing. And there was even like a lot of stuff that went on like during that last like thing. Right. But ultimately the patterns of behaviors started touching my oldest. Mm. My oldest was 9. And so, you know, my whole life, these patterns of behaviors have existed. And it's like, you're so crazy that these patterns of behavior bother you. Like, just suck it up and go along to get along, right? And so I did. I'm also the oldest daughter. So my role is the fixer, the protector, the doer, you know, the planner, the organizer, the one that like keeps everything kind of going. I'm also the fighter and the problem child and all this other stuff. Yeah. But you know, so like that was kind of my role. So I did just kind of go along to get along until my son started voicing similar feelings about the patterns of behavior. And then it's like, light bulb, you're not crazy.
Yeah.
that was probably where my biggest shame spiral came from. And going no contact is like, how did you let it get here to be able to touch your children? Like, what kind of mother would do that? You're a bad mom. And so that was a lot of shame for me that I had to work through. Now I don't hold that shame, and I don't really hold shame for any of it. Yeah, I don't hold shame at all anymore. I don't hold guilt for sure. Guilt was a big one for a while. No more guilt. And I also, I think in this stage, have more compassion and understanding for the different players in the dysfunctional family system and why those roles serve you and why you're unable to leave that role. Why, you know, because I think like when we go no contact, the thing that surprised me the most or that I was not prepared for was the ripple effect. There's going to be a ripple effect. There's going to be people that choose sides, even though you're like, I'm not asking anybody to choose sides. Yeah. Like this, you know, I kind of wanted it to be like a divorce. Like, well, you just like spend this day with me and this day with her and like, it'll be fine. It was not like that. I had no idea. But now I have like so much understanding and compassion, even for my mother, about why she is the way that she is, why she can't be the mother that I need her to be. And I can have compassion and empathy for you and still say, this relationship isn't healthy for me.
Yeah.
And my kids deserve a healthy mom.
Yeah. That's like your, I would say your story and what you're doing, the work you're doing is such an inspiration, because again, I think that every single listener can identify a difficult relationship that they're experiencing, one that just doesn't feel good, that they sort of struggle with, and the ability to be able to normalize that these exist. And it's incredibly normal, and there's nothing wrong with you, and there's nothing wrong that this is happening. And one of the things I've started to think about too is like, I get to choose my relationships and surrounding my family and myself with the people I choose people who make me feel good. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. So one of the things that I ask all of my guests is to share a quick tip. It's called the 5-minute shift. So I share quick tips. What's like something quick, one nugget that the listener can walk away with to be able to like implement immediately, something they can just do after listening to this?
Yeah. Some one little nugget that you can do. I really want you to start developing that inner mother. That's like one thing that I think is so powerful.
Yeah.
Start talking to that inner child the way that you wish. Maybe it is your mom. Maybe you have a great mom and your relationship with your dad is horrible. Start talking to yourself the way that you wish a protective, safe, healthy caregiver would talk to you. Be that person for yourself. That's going to feel uncomfortable, weird, woo-woo at first. If you've never done it, you're going to be like, what the heck? I'm just talking to myself and saying these weird things. The more you do it, the easier it gets, and the more you start believing the things that you're saying to yourself.
I love that tip. That would have been mine to pick out too. And I think, right, that's like the umbrella, then everything else just sort of, yeah. I don't know.
You can let that shame go and the guilt go and all the bull go. Yeah. You just like stay true to you and be nice to you.
Yeah. Abby, this was such an important conversation. I thank you so much for coming on. How can people connect with you? How can they find you?
Yeah. So I spend the most time over on Instagram. That's kind of my living room, at You the Mother. I'm also, you can listen to my podcast, wherever you're listening to this podcast, You the Mother. I offer one-on-one coaching and group coaching around these difficult family dynamics and estrangement. Wherever you're at in your journey, you're welcome in the group coaching. I just launched a really important project with Maggie Nick, Chaz Lewis, and Logan Cooper called Parenting with Trauma. So if you are walking that road of, oh my gosh, this is so much breaking cycles, healing myself, and parenting my children, you're not alone. It is overwhelming. It is freaking hard. So we developed a full workshop about it with 22 videos. That's over on my Instagram. And all my stuff is on my website at You the Mother.
I'll link that all in the show notes. Again, thank you so much for having this powerful and much needed conversation with me.
Thanks, Stephanie.
Okay, so if you want to take this all a step further and gain insights that are specific to you and your family, that's exactly what I do with my one-on-one mom coaching clients. You can sign up for a complimentary consult call to learn how coaching can help you and your family. Go to stephaniercoaching.com/consult to sign up.